Acts, Acts chapter 2, we're going to read about five or six verses here of my favorite verses in the end of that chapter. This is something I preached around and on and about for years, and this is the early church. This is the church as it operated after the day of Pentecost, because in the first part of Pentecost, first part of the chapter, you find Pentecost has took place. Peter stood up and he preached and 3,000 souls has gotten saved. And then they went on continuing. And we'll find how the early church operated from verses number 42 through verses 47. And we need to pattern our church after those verses right there. Because that's the early worship, the way they did it, and anything that deviates from that has got off track. And I believe God was pleased with the first church. I believe he was pleased with the way they operated and the way they worshiped. And I want God to be pleased with the way we worship. Now, we don't worship like we ought to. Amen. We hold back too much. And we play around too much. And we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We're afraid that we're going to say an amen somebody ain't going to like. Or something or other. Amen. I don't really know what all the problem is. I just know we hold back too much. Stand up, please, and let's pray. Read together, and then we'll pray. The Bible said in chapter number 2, verse number 42, Acts 2:42, and they, look at that word, continued. Remember, I've talked about the word continually this morning with Job. Didn't know it was going to fit here, but he said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, who are the apostles? They're the disciples that now have been sent out. And, you know, they just taught. It was disciples. Now they're apostles, and they're sent. And so they're going out now to preach the word of God. And it said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed that were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They went to church every day, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being able to open the unadulterated word of God. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the hearers. We didn't have nobody to hear. God, we couldn't preach or wouldn't it fall upon no ears. But God, we're glad tonight we've got some people to preach to. And I pray, God, you'll give them something from heaven to strengthen, to encourage, to challenge them. Lord, we'll leave here tonight saying it's been good to bend down to the house of God. Have your own way. Touch our hearts. Anoint us to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many people today are not leaning on the things of God. They're leaning on their finances. And finances fail. You know that. If they don't lean on their finances, they will lean on their friends. And you can have fair weather friends. And friends don't always stick with you. Amen. And then you can lean on tonight your feelings. A lot of people lean on their feelings. I feel like this. I feel like that. And you're going to have to get to the place you quit operating off your feelings. Amen. I'm still saved when I feel bad. Amen. Sometimes I feel so saved, it's pitiful. And sometimes I feel not so saved. And I have to run by radar. Amen. And touch God by faith. Don't you? You said, no, I'm wide open all the time. Amen. You're lying. Amen. You know you are. So sometimes people lean on feelings. Amen. I don't feel like I'm saved and I'm not running by I'm saved by faith and not by feelings. I'm glad it does have a little feeling to it, though. Amen. Amen. If you didn't have a little feeling, you could lose it and not know you had it. Amen. And so I tell you, I like to live by faith. Faith, that's what God said. And then others lean on flesh, what flesh thinks. And if you lean on flesh, I'll tell you, it'll be contrary to the word of God. It surely will. Some people live on fame. We have some of these sports people get right, and or they say they get right, and then they go up and down the country trying to, you know, from church to church and give their testimony and things, and they're going on fame, and a lot they know them for fame. Well, I don't have much all that. Amen. I'm not too famous. Amen. And I never seen too many Baptist preachers that done right and preach right get too famous. They like them sometimes. They like to see them go instead of coming in. But anyhow, we don't go by fame. Amen. God didn't tell us to make a name. Jesus didn't make a name. He said we'd be despised for his sake. Now, saying all that, we look at the church here. I'm going to give you several things that the early church had. And I don't have time to get in every one of these verses. If I did, we'd be here all night. And you know how it is. I never finish a message. We just find us a stopping place. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. You know how steadfastly is? I mean this way. I'm not budging like a rock of Gibraltar. That means strong, steadfast. Not wobbly, but strong and steadfast. Unmovable, if you will. And it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The first thing I want to say to you tonight is the early church was grounded in the apostles' doctrine. You said, well, I don't believe I'm anchored in the apostles' doctrine. Then the church can't be right if it's not anchored in the apostles'. What was the apostles' doctrine? You've got to remember that early church, the church is just getting started here. It's switching from law to grace, and thank God ain't that good. Amen. Amen. Now the law was not destroyed. Christ fulfilled it. And grace come in. Law's gone out. You don't sacrifice a lamb or a bullock anymore. Christ has become the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so he has taken the place of sacrifice. No more need for sacrifice. So the supreme sacrifice has come. Through the person of Christ Jesus. Now, the apostles' doctrine, and here it is, they went out preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That basically is the apostles' doctrine. Now, it goes back further than that. They also taught that Jesus Christ was virgin born, because they had done experience that. They taught that the scriptures were divine. They taught that God, that Jesus was God in the flesh. And we could keep on going with some of the doctrines. You understand? That's the apostles' doctrine. That's what the church got started in. You said, I don't want to follow the apostles. Well, the apostles followed Christ. The apostles' doctrine is the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now, you can't get it no better than that. You can't get it no different than that. It wasn't the ideas of men. It weren't the ideas of the modern day religion of that day. Or of this day either. But it was the doctrines that were taught by Jesus Christ himself. And not only taught, but presented to them to go preach. Jesus didn't go tell us to go preach about him. He told us to preach him. Amen. And we go into all parts of the world preaching and teaching and baptizing. So the first thing that the early church had that we need today, that we need to get back to, is the apostles' doctrine. We need to be anchored in the apostles' doctrine. Don't need to be wishy-washy. These Baptists that don't even know what they believe. Somebody come through town and tell them, amen, something that they've never heard before, they'll jump on the bandwagon and run with it. And they'll switch their doctrine. Listen, I've been preaching the same doctrine for 51 years. I want you to know tonight I believe in the apostles' doctrine. And I'm too old now to turn around and change it. And it wouldn't do no good because it wouldn't help nobody, no how. Amen, I'm having trouble with people even believing the apostles' doctrine. You can preach as a pastor or a preacher till you're blue in the face and people just don't pay no attention. Amen. You remember I said, I don't know where I said it in the Sunday morning message of the Sunday school this morning, but sometimes you hear something and it stays with you about 10 minutes and sometimes off the porch, sometimes in the car, and many of you won't even remember what I preach today, tomorrow. Amen. Am I telling the truth? So it just gets away. So what happens the first one, we'll look at this. We find that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't deviate from it. They had no motive or reason to deviate from it. They steadfastly continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they had something else with it. And fellowship. Amen. It's good to have fellowship one with another. They continued fastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship one with another. And then the second thing we want to point out in verse number 42 is in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's not necessarily the breaking of cornbread. Amen. But they were interested in breaking the bread of life. Amen. I suppose they had a little fellowship. I guess some folks can take verse 42 and they can work on it. Some people have more fellowship than they do preaching. Amen. And now, fellowships are good. I like them knife and fork and spoon fellowships. They're good in their place, but they're never to take the place of the preaching and the worship of God. Amen. I like to fellowship one another. They don't get much of that no more anywhere because of the situation we're under, the pandemic. Amen. And so I'm looking at this tonight and seeing that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread. Notice the last three words of that verse. And in prayers. The early church started off praying. It prayed in the upper room before the power fell. And it kept praying after the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost and overshadowed them and indwelled them. And they went out praying. A church that don't pray won't do what God wants it to do. If we want tonight to have God's hand upon this place and feel God's presence when we come here in here and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, number one, we're going to have to continue in the fellowship and the apostles' doctrine. And then number two, we're going to have to pray. Amen. Prayer is not something that is easy. Prayer is something you have to make yourself do. Say amen right there. I know you do. You have to make yourself do it. I pray quite a bit, and I'm not bragging and not boasting. I don't pray enough. You don't pray enough. Nobody in this building prays enough. Oh, yeah, preacher, I do. Well, walk down the aisle. Amen. We'll just check you out. We'll see how you walk. And I'm talking about spiritually. We'll watch you walk. I was coming down the road the other day, and this fella was over here. Trooper had a fella stopped and he had him out of the car, and one of the county fellas was there too, and they had him out there in the front, had him standing in a straight line. I went on. I didn't stop because I didn't want no trouble. I figured they was fixing to make him walk. I don't know. And see how straight he was. I hadn't seen that in ages. But I want to tell you tonight, oh, if we want to see how, and if you want to brag about how spiritual you are, we'll just watch you walk. And if you wobble, amen, you ain't been where you need to be. Ain't where you ought to be either, amen. Now let's go on. Number two, I don't have time to expound on every bit of this. I'll just give you little ideas of what we need. Number one, we need to be grounded. And then we need to be praying and prayer warriors. Verse number 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common in verse number 44. Now they were common. They met together in one thing. They were met together in unity. A church needs to be unified, anchored and steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, praying always and in the supplications. And fast and tune. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But I'm telling you, we need to have the time of prayer. And we need to be prayed up. Constantly prayed up. Amen. It's good to pray. And then thirdly, we need to have that unity. Now, the Bible didn't say for us to meet in one mind. It says for our head or in our head. It does say in one mind and one accord. But I'm talking about it wasn't for us to meet according to my mind or your mind, but according to one body. And it's the body, the unified group of people that are meeting together for the worship. Brother, we need to come together. I appreciate the unification this church has It's like a family, and I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. We can improve on it, though, ladies and gentlemen. We can get better.
Amen.
Amen. We can improve. Amen. But I appreciate the fellowship that we have. Amen. I appreciate the love we have one for another. And it's demonstrated sometimes here and many times at that. But I want to say that we need to get to the place that we continually love one another and get to the place that we can meet together in unity and stay in unity. A church that's divided is in trouble. Are there some folks right now that even dread to go to church because there's fights going on? I've heard people tell me that, oh, preacher, you need to pray for our church. We got a battle going on over there. And it's usually two or three trying to run this and two or three trying to run that. And they're fighting one another. We need to meet in unity. Got one little mind. And I don't have much of one. You don't have either. But we can put all our little minds together. Amen. And sometimes I don't think exactly right. Sometimes you don't think exactly right whether you want to believe that or not. And if you think that you do think all right, I'll ask your husband and your wife. Amen. And your kids if you ain't got none of one of them two. Amen. I believe sometimes you make a few little mistakes, and I believe sometimes you ain't all what you claim to be.
Right.
Amen. You miss the mark and come shy. Amen. A time or two I've missed the mark, and you have too. Amen. More than a time or two, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying to you, we need to come together in unity, and we do that through praying. Then the next thing is verse number 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now what they did there, they become generous in their possessions. Amen. The church is to help. If our brother or sister's in need, we need to help them. Amen. I don't think we're to take on those that's outside God except to help them to bring them to Christ. And we ought to do anything we can to bring an individual to the Lord Jesus Christ that's lost and undone without the Lord. But I'll tell you right now, we're obligated to each other as a family. We ought to help one another. And if you've got a need, we ought to meet that need the best we can. And we try to do that here, not like we could and ought to do, but we try to meet some of it. And I appreciate it. Amen. Sometimes it ain't always financial support. It ain't always physical things that we give. But sometimes it's, amen, standing by and praying for them and the support we give them. And I appreciate that. Amen. So we need to have that generosity of possessions. Everything's not just mine. That's mine. Amen. That's right. You know how it is. You get married and the wife says, the husband says, that's mine. She said, no, that's ours. Amen. And you tell her and you look at her and she said, that's mine. And you say, yep, that's yours.
Yeah.
And that keeps down trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. You come to church and somebody's in need and you said, I got this, but how many times reckon in your lifetime down through the years that you had something you could help somebody with, but you kept your mouth shut?
Right, right.
Amen. And then it got run over.
Yeah.
Or somebody stole it. You've been better off to give it away.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Sometimes God spoke and you ain't answered.
Right.
Sometimes He's ask and you ain't given. Sometimes He's told and you didn't listen. Amen. And now, you know, if God tells you to do something, you better do it. You remember what Mary said to Him? Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Talking about Jesus. That's what she said. Whatever God wants. Hey, you're not. I know a fellow one time. And of course, I don't believe in doing this either. I seen the extreme of that. I had a fellow in the church one time and He and I've seen this happen in not only just church I was pastoring, but other churches. And he said, I went by, I got up and made a testimony and had a testimony out of it. And he said, I went by and seen Brother Rogers the other day. He was dying, this man was, from cancer. And he said, I went by and seen Brother Rogers the other day. Now, why do I need to know that? Why do you want to tell the church that? Amen. God tells you to go see Brother Rogers. Of course, I'm not talking about a literal one here now. Then go see Brother Rogers. Don't get back to the house and get on the phone and said, I went by to see Brother Rogers a while ago. So, you're not trying to please me or please the church. He said, I went by and seen Brother Rogers, and he said, we had a little time of fellowship, and said, when it come time to go, he said, the Lord told me, I said, I got out my billfold and reached down in there and got a $20 bill and handed it to him. Why would you go to church and tell that? Why would you do that? You wouldn't brag on giving. Amen. I've given like that before myself and kept my mouth shut. Amen. And you know what? God will give it back to you. I bought somebody's, and I'm not bragging now, I just want to show you this as an illustration. I bought somebody's dinner the other day. Got him up behind him, paid for his lunch. I knowed him, didn't know him that well, but I knowed him. Bought his lunch. Guess what? The next morning, somebody bought my breakfast. And at lunch, bought my lunch. Matter of fact, one of them, I don't even know who the woman was. She was in McDonald's in Double Lanes. You know them Double Lanes over there? These hillbillies don't know how to run them Double Lanes. I know that. One will go this way and one will go that way and one will go this way and one will go. And that'll work and you get out fast. But here's a woman the other day, she said, she thought she's on 85 trying to get in 85. And there were, and one lane was stopped, and there's three or four went past her. And I thought, and I'm behind her. I got in the wrong lanes. What happened? She finally decided she needed to move on up, and I couldn't even get into order because she's sitting halfway in from the other and wouldn't let me. But anyhow, this lady was over here. I'd never seen her before in my life. I just looked over there. She was. Didn't pay no attention to her. Didn't recognize the car or nothing. Anyhow, I pull up. It's her time to go. She goes around. I pull behind her. And I pulled up there to the window. And I had my money ready in hand. And that lady said, go on, yours is paid for. I said, who paid for it? She said, that lady there in that car. I said, I don't know her. Said, so? It's paid for. Two times in a row. Amen. After I've just done one. That's the way God works.
Amen.
Amen. And I wasn't trying to do that. I just wanted to do that for the fella, buy his lunch. And amen. That's good. And I'm saying that's the kind of spirit we ought to have about ourselves.
That's right.
If you've got it, if you ain't got it, amen. Holler, I'll give you some money. If I got it, I'll borrow it from somebody and give it to you. Amen. But I'm trying to say that they were not selfish and hoggish. And they give. And a church that gives will be blessed. A church that gives is blessed. Amen. And then we'll find that they were generous in their possessions. And then in verse number 46, the Bible said, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were going out because they loved God and loved each other. What makes us want to meet at church? Because we love God. This is His house. We don't want to forsake the house of God. This is where we meet God. You're going to get more for God at this place than you are down at the Burger King. Now you might get fed down there and get the heartburn, but you can come here and eat and not get heartburn. Amen. I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is you can come here, and we come here because we love God. I come to the house of God not because I'm the pastor. Somebody said, well, you wasn't the preacher, you wouldn't be here. Oh yeah, I would too. Amen. I went to church when I wasn't pastoring. When I wasn't pastoring, I went to church. I've had 6 months out of 51 years that I ain't had a church. I went to church 6 months. Like to die, but I went. And the reason I like to die is because I was sitting on the row on the front. They ain't but two kinds of preachers. Makes me want to preach is that one that can't preach and that that can. One that can, I want to help him, and that that can, I want to do it for him. And so I was miserable. I said, I'd ask God. I come back to South Carolina. I got burned out. You ever got burned out?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God I ain't going to burn up, but I got burned out.
Yeah.
I'm saved by the grace of God. Never get burned up.
Right. That's right.
But I got burned out. I kind of got tired. My wife and I was there, and she said, you know, I'd like to go to church and wouldn't have the responsibility. You ought to try this sometimes.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Pastor ain't the choice of my life.
Yeah.
It's the duty God put me in, and I love it. But I want to tell you something. I just about do anything but pick peaches and enjoy it. Pick peaches for a week, and I said, I ain't never picking peaches again. That fuzz got everywhere. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I'd rather do heavy work. Amen. And I'm not saying pastor. I'm saying as to put up with the trash that you have to put up with.
Right.
Hey, you're a preacher. You don't know about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Phone calls and this. The other day, I got two calls last week, Brother Bird, and they said, you didn't call me about Miss Nora. Well, they ought to have been over on my side of the phone where I was on the phone. They ought to know what I was trying to do. And I thought, and ain't nobody in here, amen, nobody in here said that to me. It's people out from the church. You hear all this stuff. And every day you hear it. They throw out things at you. And I'm not up here complaining. I love my job. Amen. Been here 31 years. I don't want to go nowhere else. I hope you never throw me out.
Amen.
Hope you never get tired of me. But I hope I always keep feeding you too. Hope you can get something to help you. And so what's happened? We look at this and they had a love for the church, and I got a love for the church. I got a love for the preaching. I got a love for the Word of God. I got a love for the gospel. And that keeps me going every day. Keeps me going every day. And so I praise God for it and appreciate it. And I love it. And that's why I'm going. Verse number 46, you find something else in that verse. They continue in daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They got glad in their hearts. That's one of the things that's rough on a pastor. People come into church like, I was in a place of business this week, and I noticed this manager of that place never cracks a smile. That woman, I don't know what her problem is. Don't have no dealings with her. Never have. But she comes in and just looks, and she owns the place, and everybody's working for her. And I'm sitting in there, lo and behold, waiting on my lunch. And guess what? There's a feller comes in there all the time. He looked over and he said, ma'am, he said, let me ask you a question. And she said, go ahead. He said, how come you so sad looking all the time? And I'm saying to myself, I want to hear what the answer is. She said something, but I don't know what she said, and that's bothered me for a week. Amen. Ain't some people like that.
Yeah.
They look like they lost their best friend 40 years ago and ain't got over it yet. They act like their mother-in-law's living with them at the same time. Something wrong. And so that same kind of people and caliber of people come to church. Now, preacher, if you can bless me, bless me. I'm here. Give me what you can give me. Hurry up and get it over. Don't be too long. Don't hurt me. Amen. Instead of coming into church and saying, praise God, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I'm saved. Good to be here.
Amen.
Now, some of you will smile for the next 3 or 4 services. But them old muscles will pucker up again. They were glad in their heart. Verse 47 said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They not only had some gladness in their heart in verse 46, but they got to where they were praising God. You know what praising God is? Amen. Waving your hand a little bit. We were singing this morning. Brother Dale back there is waving his hand. And I look back there and he is waving his hand. And I look back there again. He's waving his hand. And all he's doing is he's throwing coal on my fire. And just excite me. You know what? They said to me how you can get rid of a preacher if you don't want him. Pray for him. Back him up. And amen him. And if you amen him enough, you know what will happen? He'll preach yourself to death. Fall over and have a heart attack. Praising God. It's good to praise God. It's a good thing to praise God. It's a required thing for all God's people. Let me just drop the level on this just a little bit. I'm not talking about one that you check to see the level. I'm talking about just drop down under where I was. We're not talking about Christ for the moment. Let's talk about home. When I was a little boy, I loved my mama and my daddy. And I still love my mama and my daddy. They're not with me anymore. But I still love them. I grew up, I've been taught good. I mean, we didn't go to church till I was a pretty good sized boy. I didn't hear the gospel till I was on up. Pretty good sized fella. Got saved, though, thank God for that. After my daddy got saved, he took us to church. And I got into high school and all them little old boys and girls down there, you know. There just is something about this, that there's a stage in boys and girls that they ever get up a certain stage. If they've ever been taught anything, they kind of get to the place that they kind of lean away from their mother and daddy. I got there. I loved my mama and daddy. They fed me, they clothed me, took care of me. But when I get out in public, I kind of pushed over to the side. We'd go to church and I was a little off to the side. And then sometimes somebody says, "That's your mom and daddy?" You'd say, "Yeah." And I'm not talking about I was ashamed of nothing. I just a little buried. Don't tell me that didn't happen to you. It happens. And then I got a little older. They were close. Got married. What they'd taught me, raised me with, I found out they were telling me the truth. It's amazing how they grown up so quickly. I thought this old fogey just didn't want me to have fun. I thought they just didn't want me to survive in life. They didn't want me to climb high. What they had on their mind is they didn't want me to fall in the ditch. So I started loving them. And the more I loved them, the more I wanted to be around them. And I just told somebody last week, I said, my daddy died in 1976, and I would love to go down to his house tonight and sit down with him for a while. If you got parents, you would too, if they're gone. And if you ain't, you need to get in the altar because something happened. You said that's mean. Then get right with God. And you probably might think, well, they might not have treated you like you want. I guess I'm tired of these people saying, I had a bad raising. Boy, my daddy knew what to do about straightening things out. He believed in leather. Amen. And I didn't like his system. But it worked. Amen. My daddy, he warped my frame a lot of times. And I needed it, I guess. At that time, I didn't think I did. I thought he'd give me too many whippings, but tonight I think he shied me some. And I'm trying to tell you, when you get to where you fall in love with Jesus, you'll want to be around him and praise him. And that's what you do at the house of God. And they got to come into church and pray. Hey, where can you go but the house and praise God with comfort? The church house is where God expects us to come and praise Him. Another thing that they had there was in verse number 47 is that they went to the house of God and they growed. Because the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And another thing in verse number 47, it says, and they found favor. And the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people. The church was recognized as being something. Most churches today would be recognized for their size.
Yeah.
For their contemporary music.
Right.
For the little old skits that they put on. And all the fellowships that they're having, and all the stuff and all the seminars that they're having, and not known for what they take a stand on the Word of God and praising God around the world. Listen, the Bible should be the main thing that you praise God off of.
Amen.
Not the preacher,
amen.
Not the method he uses to preach, but the Word of God. It's the Word of God that ought to excite you. It's the Word of God that excites me. I hear preachers sometimes I never have heard before, and they get a scripture going, and I say, get it, boy.
Yeah. Right.
I say, nail that down. I like it.
Yeah.
It's that word I like.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes they do like I do. They'll tell, yeah, this, that, and this is my opinion. Well, you don't need to hear my opinion, and I don't need to hear theirs. And I'm saying, it's not my opinion I'm trying to get across. It's the Word of God. What does God say? And I believe we need to improve on our worship.
That's right.
Amen. Personally.
Yeah, that's right.
Follow these as your rules and your regulations. Not what I think and not what you think, but what God says here. What they were doing. These people, we believe were blessed. Amen. Heads bowed. Thank you tonight for coming to the house of the Lord. And I trust the Lord's blessed you. I hope He's strengthened you. I hope He's encouraged you. Amen. You get home tonight.